Hello, hello.
Hello.
I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to The Night Owl. All right, well, today's the first episode of October, welcoming Black Cat Month. So we have to introduce our little Wednesday kitty. Every day is Wednesday with Wednesday.
You have a black cat, it's, yeah.
Yeah, it's go out and celebrate, give them some yummy treats to eat, play with them. Acknowledge their presence. Wednesday is staring at us right now. The last podcast that I edited from our last episode, you could hear Wednesday meowing very loudly in the background. So she is definitely a force to be reckoned with.
Prominent fixture.
So this is the first episode of October. Welcome. We are going to talk about some interesting topics today. I know that you and I decided that we wanted to kind of keep it going about the history of the neighborhood that we had just moved to recently, Rogers Park. And if you are not from Chicago or from Illinois as a listener, we live in Rogers Park, which is north side of Chicago, and it is damn near close to Evanston and Skokie. I mean, we're as far north as you can get while still staying in neighborhood of the city of Chicago. So Matthew and I, since we moved here, have been really enjoying the landscape and the people and just the difference that we have been able to experience compared to the other neighborhoods that we have lived in. And I think that we'll have many more stories to tell you and share with you, because I really am excited about this neighborhood.
Yeah, as we've mentioned before, I mean, oldest neighborhood, and I think you're going to talk about even how it came to be far as a area, or kind of how this area came to be defined and how it came to come across that name, and far as, you know, being the oldest neighborhood here in the city of Chicago. So yeah, I'm sure we'll have more. Plus, you know, I think you've got some pretty cool things to talk about.
Yeah, I definitely want to keep the series going, along with other information that we will have about any other topic. Obviously, you know, we won't make the episodes all about Rogers Park, but I think it would be fun to bring.
We're not trying to turn this into the Rogers Park podcast.
No, but I think it's fun to talk about
Rogers Park.
I think it's fun to talk about a neighborhood that we actually like, and I think that the other neighborhoods that we stayed in were great because we had each other. And I'm not saying that we don't have each other
just
now.
Just to give
but
you an idea, right? Like the other day, you know, I was on Reddit and somebody had kind of posted something regarding Clayton Moore as the Lone Ranger. I'm like, oh, well, you know who was from Rogers Park? Good old Clayton Moore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I made
so
a comment
it's kind
like
of
that. I mean, you know, it's just again interesting.
Yeah.
Tidbits and facts.
And I guess I could say that I compared another neighborhood that I really enjoyed was staying in the South Loop, because I could go to Bronzeville and I was right in Motor Row and I was near the campus, museum campuses, and that, you know, has some history to it. I do enjoy living here because I'm a little bit older. Matthew had just had a birthday. Happy birthday, by the way. Mm-hmm. It was a few days ago. But I think it's a nice place to settle. I think it's a nice place to live when you want to have some peace and quiet and get work done, and also be surrounded by nature and by art. And that's what Rogers Park for me has done for me. I've gathered a lot of inspiration just walking down the street here, as opposed to when we lived in Andersonville, I had to go to the lake. I had to go out of the neighborhood in order to be inspired, whereas I could just step foot out here. It's always peaceful, and I love it. So moving on, I wanted to learn about how Rogers Park got its start, and I'm just going to bring to you a little tidbit of that. The founder of Rogers Park was named Philip Rogers, and he was from Ireland, which to me, since I'm multiracial, that is pretty cool because I am part Irish. I've been to Ireland when I was 18, and it was very eye-opening to see that much green in one place and to know how they spend their days with you know, life and work, hard, working hard and
valuable, you know, their history. To be around non-Americans to see how some other country lives, especially a place like Ireland. I bet that was very.
Oh, I loved it. And I love that they left everything there. They never tore things down. You know, you could drive by and see ruins from, you know, 30 years ago or even 5 years ago of a barn or a house or a castle that used to be there and it used to exist. And now it's just part of the landscape, which is kind of cool. That got to be the
complaint around here when they're tearing down and rebuilding a bunch of neighborhoods that they wanted to keep existing buildings because they felt like...
Mm-hmm. They're tearing down too much, especially
right, like developers, like in the Pilsen neighborhood when they were painting over some of those beautiful murals and people were getting upset, which, you know, no shit.
Well, I mean, I just think that it's part of, like we said in the last episode about the American Girl dolls, how they represented your ancestors. I think when we do build on land for a reason, for a purpose, we should leave it. And even if we repurpose it as something else, we should still leave the bones there. We should still leave that memory there. There are some old firehouses around here in the city that have been repurposed into apartments or housing or businesses, but at least it says Chicago Fire Department. Or, you know, even if you go downtown by the South Loop, you can see buildings that used to be something else, or union parlors or ballrooms. They've still left them the signs up. But they, you know, now it's a bank, or now it's, I think they did that with the Walgreens. I think down in Wicker Park, there's a Walgreens that used to be a church or something, and they repurposed it to a Walgreens. So I think it's interesting when they leave things the way they are, because it kind of gives you that history that used to be there. But Philip Rogers was from Ireland, and he arrived to New York first in order to get to Chicago. And so he arrived here in Chicago in 1834.
It's not like he's jumping on a plane in 1834.
No, I think he took a boat to Watertown, New York, Ellis Island, I'm assuming. When he came to Chicago, the Potawatomi natives lived here before he came. They were here in 1821. He basically bought 600 acres of land that were $1 an acre, which now would have been $21,188.
That's interesting.
So he only spent about $750 when he bought 600 acres of land, which I think is, back then would still be a lot of money. I mean, it's a lot of money. Yeah,
and how much old Trump paid for taxes? $750?
Yeah. So $21,000 is a lot. So he bought 600 acres of land, and he bought it from the government. I think he just wanted to get out of Ireland. And,
yeah, I mean, yeah, probably start trying to escape another famine, or maybe tired of eating potatoes and cabbage and basically everything boiled and ready to come to this new land that he's heard of.
Yeah, I mean, America. So they didn't really say much about him. I tried to deep dive on, you know, more about him. They just kind of said what he did and why they didn't really say even why he bought the land. They just said that he bought the land after he died in 1856. His daughter Catherine and son-in-law, Captain Patrick Toohey, which is named the streets.
Yeah, the streets around. I mean, wouldn't it have been great if you had found something like he came here and like he took a whiff of the air and was like, yes, this will be my land.
I think when I was reading about him, I looked on many different sources. I looked on many different channels and it was kind of all the same type of biography about this story. And they didn't really go into his childhood or his upbringing or really anything. I mean, I think he's kind of an unknown as far as, you know, who he was before he arrived here. And I think that he was probably middle aged by the time he came out here. So he didn't live very long after he bought the land. He probably was here about 20 years, maybe 10, 15 years. So he had a daughter named Catherine, obviously Irish name. His son-in-law, Patrick, he was a captain. He inherited 800 acres. So they bought another 800 acres of land. So it became about 1,600 acres of land that became the whole of Rogers Park. So Rogers Park is about 1,600 acres of land.
Okay. Yeah, that's a sizable little town or neighborhood.
Then. Well, and Patrick was saying, hey, you know, we need to build on this land. You just have a cabin, you have your horses, you have, you're just on 600 acres of land, and there's nothing going on here. It's just you and your pipe and the natives, and that's okay. They were okay with the natives being there, obviously, but there was no infrastructure. There was no industry. There was nothing going on. Philip just kind of wanted to come to Chicago and buy some land, and that was it. He just wanted to have a peaceful rest of his life.
I mean, and isn't that interesting, being so close to the city but not being part of the city at that point in time?
Yeah, this was before the Chicago Fire, because I think the Chicago Fire was in the 1900s.
No.
I thought it was 1900s. Maybe it was after. Matthew's looking right now.
Better make some fact check that.
But it said Patrick Toohey inherited 800 acres, and Patrick named the land after Philip, after he died. Toohey helped early settlers John Farewell, Luther Greenleaf, Stephen Lunt, Charles Morse, and Paul and George Pratt.
Now, you got not 1900s, but 19th century, correct?
19th century.
It did occur. It occurred after the Civil War. We should know this, living here, October 8th through the 10th, 1871.
Okay, so this was after Roger died, because Philip Roger died in 1856.
So it occurred after he died.
Yes. So there probably wasn't much of Chicago to look at. It was probably still farmland and still, you know. But Patrick named the land after these four settlers, these five settlers. Charles Morse, Stephen Lunt, Paul and George Pratt, Luther Greenleaf, and John Farewell. So these streets, by us, are named after these men, these first settlers that came to Rogers Park. So I would say that aside from Philip Rogers, these other settlers came here because of Patrick. Patrick being a captain, my Rhode Island accent's coming out right now. Patrick being a captain was able to, he was very well known. And I think that these men that he reached out to were scholars, they were men of industry, agriculture. They were guys that were going to make a difference and start anew and start settling and start colonizing here. In 73, the five men formed Rogers Park Building and Land Company, putting down a sector of 48 blocks and naming several streets after each member.
Of course.
Of course. I would do the same thing. And some of them are actually buried in the Calvary Cemetery down the street.
Oh, is that where they're buried?
Yeah. The area wasn't annexed to Chicago until 1893. So that was still after the Chicago Fire.
I mean, I knew it was after the fire. I knew it was well after the Civil War, but I knew before 1900 that it had. But it had existed as a town before. It had been Chicago. That's why it's the oldest first kind of neighborhood of the city after.
I mean, it was like the first neighborhood period, like in that area. Yeah. Before Chicago was like a thing. So the population then was 3,500. Developments were made on the east side from 1910 to 1930, which is when the L train was constructed. The L train, as everyone knows, Wednesday's acting crazy right now, was constructed from 1910 to 1930. So that was when we were able to get more people coming out here and traveling within the city, traveling within the neighborhood.
Yeah, because if the city existing on a swamp, it had to be elevated.
Yeah.
Because, again, they couldn't really have, the tunnel system that a place like New York had.
The population then, it jumped from 6,800 in 1910, and in 1930, it jumped to 57,000. So in 20 years, it went from 6,000 to 57,000. So I think that's pretty good. That's when it was like really bustling. Schools were developed, such as St. Ignatius, St. Jerome, Loyola Academy, which is a private school, and then the public schools.
Yeah, these are all schools that still exist to this day.
Yeah, they're all down the street from us. The ethnicities that resided in Rogers Park were Jewish, Eastern Europe, Muslims, Black, Pakistani, Latino, Mexican, Asian. They all basically migrated here after World War II. But before then, it was mostly German, Irish. the L was developed, a lot of the richer families had moved out of Rogers Park into the suburbs. They didn't really want to live there anymore. It got too overcrowded. So after that, it made room for the immigrants. And the houses that they moved out of were subletted into apartments. So that's why you and I see some of these old houses that are broken into different apartments. Yeah. Philip and his family were immigrants, and they came to America in search for a better life. And it brought forth an eclectic area.
Oh, that's Bible that I was thinking of. Coming to America, you know?
Huh?
Bible and somewhere
else. Oh, yeah. Well, it brought forth a better life, and it brought forth an eclectic area. And it was home to people of many ethnicities and young students in search of a great future. So that's what people want to do. And back then, they wanted to come to America. And I think coming to Chicago for them was it for them.
To America.
Okay. That song is not about immigrants at all. So industry throughout the area meant workers could work close to home. And Catholic and Protestant and Baptist churches and Jewish synagogues accentuated the neighborhood with religious diversity. So that's why you and I see a lot of these different churches all around that are all different sizes. And, you know, if we even just go down the street, we can see all the Jewish people walking around.
Denominations.
Yeah, different denominations.
Yeah.
Yes, which is nice because you don't really want to have everyone looking the same, everyone going to the same thing at the same place. Eastern Rogers Park was a marshy birch forest, which is now commemorated with Birchwood Avenue. So that's another street that's by us that we've seen that was named after the climate of the area back then. After the city of Chicago extended the L between 1910 and 1930, the demand for townhouses and apartments skyrocketed. Rogers Park was able to stand on its own as a neighborhood as the L made nightlife activities easily accessible, and the construction of the theaters gave Rogers Park dwellers constant entertainment. Also, I don't think I put in here, the reason why you and I were able to see the lake when we were on our walks, remember we saw those apartments that were kind of
there's some places hugging
the lake? Yeah. That's because Rogers Park lost a battle with another neighborhood that's no longer even here anymore. It's named something else. But they lost a battle with where they could put their parks. So Rogers Park, the only park that is actually near the lake, is Loyola Park. All the other parks in Rogers Park are inland. So that's why they built apartments and condos actually near the lake, lakefront. So that's why sometimes we can walk near a street and it just ends. And then there's apartments and then there's the lake, right? So usually there'd be a beach there, there'd be a park there. But because Rogers Park is the only neighborhood with parks on the inside of the neighborhood and not the outside, which is great. I mean, I don't mind the parks being by themselves. It definitely is different from when we used to live in Andersonville, where we had to walk to the parks, and the parks over there are by the beach. They're not really separate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. I don't mind. I don't really mind that. I just think it's interesting that Rogers Park is the only neighborhood where the parks are inside.
Or a neighborhood that's along the lakefront.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's probably what makes them a lot more money, is because those apartments and condos that are right next to the lake, they're more expensive. They have to be.
Yeah.
And like we said before, they have crazy renter's insurance because you could have giant waves. You could have, I mean, the Lake Michigan has definitely overflowed and collected a lot more rainwater, and the glaciers are fucking melting. So obviously Lake Michigan is still being affected by that. Rogers Park still speaks to this day for the diversity of Chicago as a whole. It has no predominant racial group, but rather a mix of multiple cultures. The Chicago Tribune has said of Rogers Park, "In a city made famous for an accepted and often enforced cultural and socioeconomic homogeneity within neighborhoods, Rogers Park stands almost alone as an exception." So Chicago Tribune itself said that Rogers Park is unique and diverse. And that's what I love about it. The fact that a newspaper that is well known has said that Rogers Park is definitely speaks for itself, and it's separate from the rest of Chicago as a whole, which is great. So that's what I have. I just have.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really cool and
interesting. What it used to be and how it was built.
To know, and you can still see, you know, even some of that today, very much so.
And you can see, you know, if you're walking down the street, you can look at, you can look down at, on the sidewalk, and you can see plaques that are dedicated to people.
Some of the parks, I mean, that's what's cool to know that, you know, especially some of the trees and things around here have been around since, you know, the
300
beginning.
300 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I brought to you guys today for the Rogers Park series episode tonight. Did you have any little tidbits?
Just thought I'd bring up since it's been, you know, I think a couple of weeks since we finished it, and you know, we like on occasion like to talk about, you know, something we're watching, whether it's on, you know, a platform like Netflix or Hulu or some other, you know, kind of TV station, maybe a movie or something here. But these past couple weeks here, right before the end of summer, we finished watching a TV series that had originally aired on Hulu FX called Mrs. America. And, you know, I saw it sitting there for a while. I guess I didn't quite know what it was until you had said, no, I think this is something we should watch. I think it would really be good. And it, I thought it was.
I wasn't expecting, I didn't know what to expect when I clicked on it, because all I saw was Kate Blanchett's name, and I'm like, she's on a TV show? She's usually a movie star.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of interesting to see that it was a TV series and to see some of the people involved. And
it was very short and sweet. They're not. I don't think they're going to make another season. I don't know.
Maybe potentially a season two, but okay. This was a, you know,
soap,
you know,
drama.
It was a historical drama.
Yeah, historical drama.
That originally aired on just Hulu FX. It was just originally available if you had Hulu. And now, if you do have FX on whatever platform, you also have the option to get it. And I would highly recommend doing so. I mean, I think it'll be something that is up for a lot of awards just based on, you know, just the acting alone. I mean, like you already mentioned there.
It was very, you know, authentic.
Cate Blanchett, it had a lot of, I thought, really heavy hitters in all of them. Just so very, you know, played those characters. Just, you know,
yeah,
authenticity of it was just, it blew me away.
And it's Netflix, so obviously they're going to make no,
yeah,
you're going
like
to spare
no
expense.
Yeah.
Right?
It definitely did that, but it's amazing the effort that they put forth, because, you know, when we watch something like that and it causes you to kind of want to go dig deeper, and then you start to look into it and you're like, whoa, look
we
how
did
close
it
these people are. I mean, they look one and the same. So if you're not really familiar what it is, it's basically about the movement there, the equal rights movement and the ability to pass it, and then kind of how states tried to ratify it, and how this one group, this Stop ERA group, turns out Cate Blanchett's character, you know, is committed to stopping. And, you know, and it introduces, you know, historical characters or figures like, you know, Betty Friedan, who is from our own Peoria, Illinois, who was casted and played by Tracy Ullman. And it just turns out, wow, I mean,
another
home run as far as what she did. If you don't know who Gloria Steinem is, I would recommend checking that out. And again, you know, I've always enjoyed Rose Byrne. I've kind of always thought she has, you know, she can do it all. I mean, whether it's serious or comedy or whatever. And here she just, once again, I think just knocks it out of the park.
Yeah. And Cate Blanchett plays Phyllis Schlafly. She's basically a Republican and female.
Activist, determined to stop the Equal Rights Amendment. And
she would be like what we would say women for Trump now.
She would,
which she,
well,
did
she was.
Push that.
She was, yeah.
She did push that campaign.
She's no longer with us, but when she was, here she was able to at least support Trump in 2016. She was a Trump supporter. It would be interesting now, given everything that has happened, if she would still consider that.
Yes, because people like that don't change. We were waiting throughout the show to see, because I think that we didn't know. I didn't know at first it was going to be based off of real events. The way that it had started, spoiler alert, was that I thought it was just going to be something that was somewhat like that, like reflecting off of real events, but then this character was someone that would, you know, be this powerhouse female. Well, I mean, and then I was like, oh no, this is real. These are real people.
Yeah, we knew it was real. Yeah. Especially when they mentioned Shirley Johnson, who we brought up earlier. Remember,
Betty Ford was in it. RBG was in it. I mean, they had really small parts. Their actors had really small parts. But yeah, I thought it was going to be like, oh, maybe she's going to change and she's going to change her mind and join the girls on the ERA. And no, it was Phyllis Schlafly was like that.
Absolutely not. Now, I mean, for me, it kind of helped open my eyes even more to better understand, you know, when I see that there are female older women that support Trump. And I just, you know, based on what he says and the things that he does. You know, that has always just blown my mind. I mean, it's just thinking.
It's like slugs for salt.
How could anybody think for yourself and but
they didn't, though. They had men always telling them what to do.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, this was, women trying to basically take away rights away for women.
Yeah, it blows my mind. It's like saying slugs for salt. I mean, you want something that's going to kill you. You want something that's not looking out for your best interests. And the men back then were behind the whole thing. They were the puppeteers. They were using,
several times
they had
the
actually
scene.
Mentioned that. They had actually been happy about that, about the fact that they, and this was during the Reagan, right? The Reagan campaign. This was during another election, another campaign. So this was a lot going on. There were the LGBTQ rights. There was abortion rights. There was a lot. These were the women that were blazing the trail for what I'm going through right now. And you were just a 1 year old. You were 1 year old when this happened. I mean, 1977 was when it all started coming to a head. It all started really going into motion. And I think that now, going through this stuff now, I feel like we're kind of going back in a circle. But the only difference is that there are new laws and there are new people in these platforms, and we have the internet, so we can actually look for ourselves as individuals. We don't have to count on the government to tell us things. You know, we can go with professionals and people that actually have facts.
Well, we do continue to say that here, right? Follow the science, follow those that that are the experts that know what they're talking about.
Yeah, we don't have just a TV or a radio telling you everything when they can change the narrative back then. I know that Gloria Steinem had lots of battles with men. You know, when she opened up her own newspaper, Miss New Yorker, she was a New York columnist for the New Yorker, and she ended up getting her own running her own magazine. She had a lot of hate thrown at her, but she was an empath. She was described in the show that we watched as this empath who had her own skeletons and her own suffering, but she saw the good in everything, and she was a fighter, but she fought the right way. She didn't hit, you know, below the belt. She said it, told it like it was. And I think Betty, right, she was around before her. And I think if it wasn't for Betty, Gloria wouldn't have had the balls to come forward and do what she wanted to do. So the fact of the matter is, when you and I watched the show, we were like, wow, you're all women. You should be in the same boat. You should be sticking up for each other. Don't be letting.
I mean, it
don't
is
be
amazing
letting the men win.
Exactly. It just kind of goes into, you know, there is so much we don't understand about the human brain and the psyche. Because to be honest, women could just rise up, which I don't understand exactly. Rise up. I mean, why do men think they can dominate and dictate everything?
There used to be queens, honey. Queens used to exist, and not just the queens that we see in fairy tales and Game of Thrones. I'm talking about pharaohs. I'm talking about goddesses. I'm talking about different countries that still now love.
I mean, women give birth. That's what I mean. That's the thing. I mean, to me, that just trumps anything that a man could ever do.
Yeah, we brought you into this world.
Exactly.
So don't treat us like shit. I mean, the first person ever, the first ancestor was Lucy. She was a female. You know, she was our ancestor of all life. That show is great because it definitely does shine a light on the serious issues that we go through now. We do talk about right now, and when they became a problem, when they started to become an issue, when they started to make people think. And I think back then you had to have credible sources to talk about what you were talking about in the debate.
It's amazing, right? The forces that seem to work against it. But, you know, as I've kind of seen time and time again through various stories, you know, just because you think that's the way it should be, like just because you think, hey, all women should stick together, why wouldn't you want to have more rights and be able to do? And nope, there are plenty of women out there that was, nope, we need to be back in the kitchen, and nope. I mean, if you understand that, then that
means... But was that their free-thinking thought, or were they told that for so long by men that they were too scared to come forward and stick their toe in the deep end? That's what I'm saying, is that, yeah, you're saying that you'd rather be at home and be a caretaker, but then just do it. You don't have to tell everybody to do it. Then exactly. Just do that. Do what you want to do. That's what it comes down to. It's the freedom to do what you want to do. You shouldn't have to force other women to do that. You shouldn't have to force them to not have an abortion. You shouldn't force them to not be a sex worker.
But it's just even this idea, right, that as a woman, well, guess who's going to take homemaking and do all that? And because that's what you're going to end up doing. I mean, look at high schools. And I mean, when I went into high school, home ec, I mean, mainly that was...
We did that when we were cavemen. We couldn't hunt either. You know, they had the men do all the hunting.
It's just such a Neanderthal and chauvinistic way to look at it.
Yes, and if we're wrong about the cavemen, if they all hunted and all gathered, then that would be a change in human history as we know it. But as we know now, we had to be the homemakers and take care of the babies because evolution told us to. That was what we had to do in our DNA. Our DNA told us, you're the female, you take care of the baby. You have the baby, so you have to keep it close. The baby has to bond with you. The man is stronger. He has to go hunt. But we don't have to live like that anymore. We haven't had to do that since we started talking and speaking language and actually using tools to actually hunt, to actually go out and build. And I think when we invented fire, that's when things should have changed as a human race. Because like I told you in the last episode, the Mayans had it right. They are in outer space right now. All of those places that actually had more sophisticated technology than we have even now, they're gone. They left Earth a long time ago. We are still here trying to fight each other about when a woman should have a baby or why we should have a baby or that we can marry a kid that's 14 as long as her parents say it's okay. Like, we still live in a world like that. And it's crazy. But then we have an iPhone that can take many different types of pictures with different lenses.
Because you're one religion and another, you can't marry that person or be with that person.
We're backwards.
That you got to think that your soulmate apparently has to be in the same seventh grade class as you because that's the only way it's got to be, all right.
Or your soulmate could just be your cat.
I mean,
who gives a shit? Your soulmate could be your blanket. I mean, your favorite parakeet from third grade. Like, I just think that...
Or that you got to find, exactly that. That has to be the storyline.
It has to be it.
There. I mean,
so that's what society and that's what the government does to us. It makes us think that we have to think a certain way, act a certain way, dress a certain way. And some people literally take it word for word, just like the Bible, just like the Quran or whatever other religious book has told you to live, when we can't just question everything.
Yeah, I mean, because it's the same old story in Hollywood, and now news is no longer just the facts. It's a story every time, and it's got to be a story, otherwise it's not news, and it's better be a bad story or a negative, you know, story, otherwise it's not really news. And
or it can't just be the way it is, and we have to change it.
No, exactly. We'll save the puppy and the kittens for the last 5 minutes of our third hour, you know, that kind of thing.
Or that's why I don't watch the news, because they'll say, this person got shot, and then they're like, and other news, and I'm like, well, can you elaborate more on what just happened, the crime that just happened, like, down the street from my house? Oh, okay, we're moving on now. Like, that's what I was telling you about reporters and journalists, that the news, like Fox and other news sources like that, suck. They suck ass. That's why you have to watch those independent shows.
That's interesting to bring that up, because I didn't tell you when I took my last Uber to the airport this week.
Oh, yeah. Matt traveled this week.
It seems like most of the time, if they ever ask where I'm from, inevitably at least one out of three, maybe more, will always end up asking, oh, Chicago, huh? Is it as bad as they say it is? you know, violent as it is, really? Is all over? I'm like,
it's like any other city.
I'm like, it's a large metropolitan
area. You just describe what it is?
I'm like, it's a city. And he's like, you know, that's what I tell people all the time. Cities are cities.
If he says that, then he wouldn't think to ask, oh, is it bad as it is? And you would already know how bad it is. I guess.
No, I think he was maybe just testing me because then he was, you know, agreed. Like I said, I mean, there are certain areas and I'm like.
It's like every other city.
Yeah, you know, I just basically said it's like any other city. Yeah. I mean, good things tend not to happen at 3 a.m.
And yeah.
Exactly. That's what I told you. It's just a city. It's a city, right? Yeah, I mean, it's a city.
You could go to, you can go to any city. There's not, if you really want to know what it's like, listeners, in Chicago, look up some stats. There's statistics that tell you what Chicago's doing at every minute of the day and how much crime there is every single day. If you really want to be scared and live in fear, go online and look it up. But I'm not endorsing that. I just think that if you really want to know what's going on in your city, then look, go on CNN, go on NPR, go on, you know, those independent stations that are everywhere around the country that have information about your neighborhood.
Or but, look up various chambers of commerce or exactly far as that community kind of leaders and organizations that can tell you what's going on.
I look up what the alderman's doing here.
Yeah, look up what the aldermen are doing or events like that for safe events to really see what's going on like that.
Go on the park district's websites, anywhere you guys happen to live. I just think it's easier to know community-wise what's going on through those smaller channels, those local political stations and platforms, because those are the people that are making it happen behind the scenes. Those are the people that are keeping us safe. Or reporting on the news. And I just think going on Facebook or going on these bigger news stations, they're not going to tell you everything. And if they do, all they're going to talk about is all the stupid shit that we don't need to know. Like, it's just really stupid. Or they're just going to talk about the debate every 5 minutes. I mean, I'm not even going to talk about that right now because that's for another day. Because, you know, obviously what you've been noticing is our current episodes are opening with a advertisement for voting. So I'm just going to leave that in there. So what else did you have to share with us today? Just the Miss America?
Yeah, because that's one of the series that I finally finished and that I knew that we had both watched.
Yeah.
You know, I think another series that we'll talk about coming up here when we finish it eventually is that I'd like to talk about is Cobra Kai.
Oh yeah, that would be awesome.
You know, kind of an interesting, you know, take, especially, you know, Karate Kid and that. But no, that's about it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I did want to share with you the responses. I'm not going to talk about the debate, but I am going to talk about the post that I made about when I said that people, when they wanted to vote for Trump, when they did vote, how they feel about it. This was back on September 19th. I posted on my personal profile on Facebook. I said to the people for Trump that may or may not be on my Facebook friends list, can you be brave and specifically explain why you voted for him in the beginning and what your thoughts are about him now? Do you feel the same about him now that you did in the beginning? I will not comment or respond back. This is out of curiosity. So I did get about 13 comments. And I'm going to read, I think, the bigger ones because they made an interesting message. This one guy said, I wasn't a Trump supporter until this year. I never gave him a chance. Never listened to a speech outside of a couple second clips that were shown on repeat. What I actually listened to was during the beginning of COVID, I realized that the media twists everything he says and started going back to claims about him and were all unverifiable or out of context. He makes good policies that are for all people. He's fighting to keep American freedoms. He's getting us out of endless wars and signing peace treaties in the Middle East. His government deregulation means it makes it easier for small businesses to get started and off the ground. Most favored nation's drug pricing is bringing down prescription drug prices. The USMCA is giving power back to farmers by fixing NAFTA. He's gone after human trafficking. I get why people don't like him personally, but he's been doing a lot for America through a media barrage who won't say a single positive thing. For all people, huh? Not for me, but I don't know. This guy, what do you think? I mean, you can tell me your response. You can. I can't say anything. I don't want to offend anyone, but I know you could probably say something. If you want. Is he getting us out of endless wars and signing peace treaties?
Yeah, I think one could argue when you are buddying up with an enemy like Russia, that could be argued.
Well, we could be going to war with Russia.
When it finds out that, you know, you've only paid $750 in taxes.
Yeah. And he didn't really give anybody, he really hasn't helped small businesses at all. In fact, he was giving a lot of the money that was supposed to be going towards the relief fund for small businesses to bigger businesses.
Well, he just figured out
that's why we have COVID relief companies now.
Exploited the living daylights out of it. I mean, and he's done that for a year. I mean, he capitalized on being this idea of himself, this famous person. I mean, that's what he capitalized on. I mean, meanwhile, all his businesses were failures.
Well, this one guy actually said Trump isn't indirectly responsible for thousands of deaths. He lied about COVID-19, and he actually backed that up with a link. He is incompetent and stupid. It's curious that this person had mentioned Trump going after sex traffickers when he is being sued for sex abuse by multiple women. I'd like to hear about these Middle East peace treaties he signed and the kids in cages that we are still not talking about anymore. His reckless actions almost got us into war with Iran. Vote for who you want, but only an idiot could defend this buffoon. And then he had another link that said, it was from The Nation, called Trump Lied America.
I agree. Let's not forget about what's still going on at the
border. Kids in cages!
There are still kids in cages. There are still people that are suffering, and they're being locked away, and they're still separating. They are, don't listen. They are still separating kids. And
this person said, I've had detoxing dementia patients that make more sense than him. Nobody is twisting the video and recording. How about that wall that Mexico is paying for? Oh, no.
Well, he laid claim to that Mexico was paying for the wall and that they had already built some 300.
Yeah.
You know, 1,000 or whatever feet of it, or yards, or I don't know, whatever it was, which I'm not aware of that. I didn't know how much, and I'm also not aware that Mexico was currently paying for the wall.
Oh, I didn't know either.
But that's what he laid claim to. Yeah. That's what he laid claim to.
That he's going to make them do it, but yet he's keeping them out.
Oh, no, he already laid claim that they had already done it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So that's about what I have now. I think there's a lot of people that just feel like, I don't know, there's really a lot of mixed responses. I think people are for him in that same way that they, like you said, they're giving people jobs or they help keep their job.
And I can see where people are coming from. What I'm surprised is, like, the first comment that you said, and that somebody would say, I've only become a fan within the last year. That's what just blows my mind are the people like that. And there are a number of people like that that have only recently that become Trump fans. That's what amazes me, that there are people that did not vote for him in 2016 that are saying, I'm going to vote for him in 2020.
Yeah.
I think he has done a really good job. I still have my job. I haven't gotten sick. My family's still doing well. Matter of fact, my business is booming, or my job is doing really well, and everything is hunky-dory to me. I mean, far as I'm concerned, things are just great old great.
Well, this guy, this is the best response. He said Trump's the only president in the U.S. history to end two wars. Yes, Dennis Rodman is in the CIA. Dennis put Rocket Boy from North Korea in his place. He was the first president to take stock market from 14,000 to 28,000. He's not a politician. He's a businessman. Businessmen don't care about anything but the numbers and facts. Well, he doesn't really know facts. Trump is not good with
that. And I would argue he's not a businessman. What he is a reality TV star.
It says, remember, until 2010, he was a Democrat with Slick Willie as his Clinton as his best friend on the golf course on a month. he could still have the Democrats in his pocket. Go look at the money Trump donated to political committee, PAC funds. Welcome to dog and pony shows. P.S. I don't vote. Never will. Red and blue thing reminds me of L.A. in 1980s. Crips and Bloods. Whole cancel culture is a game. Get humans to fight. Meanwhile, who's robbing the bank? Who's behind the curtain? No time to hate. People started using numbers, real data to decide. Love is work. One love. One planet. One being. P.S. Don't shoot the messenger.
Like, some things to be said for that. I mean, I would agree that, you know, although we're not
at the end of the day, it's all human.
I mean, at the end of the day, we're all human, right? And that's really what we all belong to. One race, one world. But yeah. It's just, I mean, you look at that, right? Why does it have to be this way? Why does there have to be so many homeless people when there's so many empty homes? Why does there have to be so many billionaires when there's so many
people starving? Yeah, well, we could actually have enough food. All the billionaires could actually feed the entire world. I mean,
what is really money? What is it tied to?
We all leave it behind. So I think.
Or do we own? Are you somebody that believes that you own this earth? Or are you somebody that believes that we live on it and you should be a steward?
We live on it. If I had the choice to live off the earth, I would do it. But I don't know how to do that because I haven't had to. I wasn't raised to live off the earth. But if I could, I would. As a matter of fact, if you and I just decided to do that, what that kid did into the wild and just strip everything we ever have, take the kitty and go out.
Berries,
yeah. I mean, I would do it. I mean, the fact that, like, the U.S. Treasury takes mutilated money and just burns it. Like, it's crazy that money is just paper.
It's just paper.
And yet we need it to, like, buy anything that we can.
And it's funny that how many other nations, it's the same thing. It's just paper. I mean, but yeah.
Yeah. We got to save that for another episode because you and I can go hours on just this topic. We wanted to share with you guys our love for you and our love for music, art, and life. And we want you to stay happy, stay healthy, and wear a goddamn mask. I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to The Night Owl.